This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy.
Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online.
Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both.
See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I'm feeling a lot better. I feel like my voice is finally getting back to normal. Still a smidge of congestion there, but I think that I am just about 100%, and I thank God for it because it's been a struggle. But nevertheless, as I said on the last episode, we are catching up on Battlefield of the Mind. In the last episode, we talked about chapter 13, which was all about a judgmental, critical, and suspicious mind. And the title of chapter 14 is A Passive Mind. Now, again, if you are not reading this book, we're about 50% of the way through. If you haven't been reading with us, click the link in the show notes to get a copy. If not, that's totally okay. I try to do the episode in a way to where you still really are enlightened and you get something from it without actually reading through the pages. So when I came upon this chapter, I felt like I wouldn't fully be able to identify with it because I don't consider myself to be a passive person. I consider myself to be more so on the aggressive side, but this chapter was so jam-packed. So for any of you guys who may say, well, I'm not really passive, this doesn't apply to me, I would suggest that you still listen because it does. Joyce starts off with the first thing I have highlighted. She says that passivity is the opposite of activity. It is a dangerous problem because the Word of God clearly teaches us that we must be alert, cautious, and active, that we are to fan the flame and stir up the gift within us. She says, I have read various definitions of the word passivity, and I describe it as a lack of feeling, a lack of desire, general apathy, lukewarmness, and laziness. Evil spirits are behind passivity. The devil knows that inactivity, failure to exercise the will spell the believer's ultimate defeat. As long as a person is moving against the devil by using his will to resist him, the enemy will not win the war. However, if he enters into a state of passivity, he is in serious trouble. So many believers are emotionally ruled that an absence of feeling is all that's needed to stop them from doing what they've been taught to do. They praise if they feel like it, give if they feel like it, keep their word if they feel like it, and if they don't feel like it, they don't. How many of you have been in this space that when the emotion isn't there, you're not showing up and doing what you know you're supposed to do? So when the high of Sunday wears off, when there's not this big fast for your next husband, your next breakthrough, your next business idea, when there's not this hype created around the subject and things are just kind of calm emotionally, you find yourself not showing up. How many people can identify with that? I love that she defined passivity as the opposite of activity, because it is a reminder when we're in those moments where there's not a lot of emotion and we fall off from doing the things. It's a reminder that whether we choose to engage in the war or not, there's always a spiritual war going on. We've read plenty of times in this book that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers in heavenly places. There's always a war going on, whether we choose to engage or not. And even if the war seems calm at a certain point, it is still going on. And the enemy really thrives in this space of passivity, because if we are not exercising the will that we have to resist the enemy, the Bible says to resist the enemy and he will flee. Resist requires engaging. So if we're being passive and we're not engaging in this fight by resisting, then we are setting ourselves up to lose. I love how Joyce talks about how passivity sometimes can fly under the radar because we're technically not doing anything wrong, in quotations. She says there are aggressive sins or sins of commission, and there are passive sins, which are sins of omission. In other words, there are wrong things that we do and there are right things that we don't do. For example, a relationship can be destroyed by speaking thoughtless words, but it can also be destroyed by the omission of kind words of appreciation that should have been spoken but never were. A passive person thinks he is doing nothing wrong because he is doing nothing. Confronted with his error, he will say, "I didn't do anything." His analysis is correct, but his behavior is not. The problem arose precisely because he did nothing. I love how she used relationships here as an example. So yeah, you and your husband can get into a fight and he says something wrong. He hurts you and that destroys your relationship. Or your husband cannot necessarily say the wrong thing, but also not say the right thing, not tell you that you're valued, that you're appreciated, that he sees what you do, that he sees the work that you put in for your family, for your business and all of the things. And not showing appreciation can also destroy a marriage, because it'll make you feel like I'm not seen, I'm not valued, he doesn't appreciate me. And that still will destroy a relationship. She later uses an example even of exercise. She says, "I'm currently on a good exercise program, and the more I exercise, the easier it gets. When I first started, it was very hard. It hurt each time I followed the program because I had been active and passive concerning exercise for a long time. The longer I did nothing, the worse my physical condition became. I was getting weaker and weaker due to the non-use of my muscles." Same can be applied to your spiritual muscles. Even though you may not be actively engaging in sin, because you are not studying your word, because you are not praying, because you are not exercising your spiritual gifts, they become weakened. So you can be more easily deceived. She says, "Passivity is one of the most difficult conditions to overcome because, as I have mentioned, there are no feelings to lend support. Passivity, to overcome this, it requires straight up discipline. That's it." One of my favorite quotes that I think about often is, "Discipline kicks in when motivation wears off." Everybody is always looking for motivation to do the things. You're always looking to be inspired to keep going in your business, motivation to maintain your prayer life, inspiration to read your word. All of these things, we're always requiring some type of emotional stimulation in order to do the things that we know we're supposed to do. And if you are someone that is like that, that is a dangerous place to be. You shouldn't have to be motivated to study your word. You shouldn't have to be inspired to have a prayer life. And I'm not trying to put you down. I'm just trying to put a mirror up to the problem, because the only way to solve this problem is discipline. And Joyce says another way to solve this problem is to fill that void, that emptiness, with the word of God. And as we have seen over the last, 14 chapters now, filling yourself with the word, thinking and meditating on the word is the answer to all of this. And in order to do that consistently without the emotions needed to drive you there is going to take discipline. So for any of you who are in this space, you've become a bit apathetic, lukewarm, not really motivated to do the things. You're just kind of meh as it relates to your walk with God right now, I challenge you to take this to the Lord and ask Him to teach you how to overcome this passivity. Because the answer is not, and this is for my type A people, the answer is not, okay, I'm going to open up the Bible app and just skim through whatever the scripture of the day is and keep it pushing. I'm going to read this devotional, but not actually sit to internalize what the text is that it's trying to highlight and what that means for my life. I'm going to say this quick prayer in the mirror real quick and keep it pushing, but not truly open myself up to be dependent and hear from and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to check some things off, but not truly let myself be open and surrendered to and submitted to the transformation of the Lord. And she gave an example of the process to overcoming passivity through her husband. So she says, "My husband Dave had some problems years ago with passivity. There were certain things that he was active in. He went to work every day, played golf on Saturday, and watched football on Sunday. Beyond that, it was very hard to motivate him to do anything else. If I needed a picture hung on the wall, it might take him 3 or 4 weeks to get it done. This caused great friction between us. It seemed to me that he did what he wanted to do, and beyond that, he did nothing. Dave loved the Lord, and as he sought him about his problem, God directed him to some information about passivity and its dangers. He found that evil spirits were behind his non-action. There were certain areas in which he had no problems because he had maintained his will in those areas. But in other areas, he had basically, through non-activity, given his will over to the enemy. He was oppressed in those areas and had moved into a place where he had no desire, no want to, no motivation at all to help him accomplish certain tasks. Study of the Word of God and prayer were two of the areas where he was passive. Study of the Word and prayer were two areas where he was passive. So those of you who are passive in these areas, listen up. Now that we know about Dave and what he was going through, let's skip down to the solution. Once he realized what he was dealing with, he made a decision that he was going to do something about it. And here's what happened from there. Making the decision was the easy part. Putting it into action was the hard part. It was hard because each of the areas in which he had been passive now had to be exercised until it was strong again. He began to get up at 5 a.m. and read the Word and pray before he went to work. The battle was on. The devil did not want to give up what ground he had gained, and he won't give up without a fight. Dave would get up and spend time with God and would fall asleep on the couch. Even though there were mornings where he fell asleep, he was still making progress simply because he was getting up out of bed and attempting to build a prayer life. There were times when he was bored. There were days when he felt like he was making no progress, that he was not understanding what he was reading anyway, or that his prayers were not getting through. But he persisted because of the Holy Spirit's revelation about this condition called passivity. So for you guys, let's highlight some things here. Dave didn't wake up one day after deciding he wanted to do something about being passive and it all was fixed. He started creating a strategy or a system for discipline. So before he went to work, he got up to read the Word. Even when the enemy tried to counter that and he was sleepy as soon as he opened the Bible, he fell asleep on the couch. He didn't understand. He started having these feelings and thoughts about his prayers not getting through anyway. I'm sure all this temptation to quit. He persisted anyway because of the revelation about this condition called passivity. So for those of you who are identifying with being passive spiritually, I need you to understand that you have to persevere through and allow the revelation that you hear now to sustain you through the journey ahead. She says, Dave persisted with God's help, and now he is not passive at all. He's the administrator for our ministry, oversees all of our radio and television outreach, and has responsibility for all the financial aspects of the ministry. The same man that couldn't hang a photo up within a month. She said, he travels full time with me and makes decisions concerning our travel schedule. He is also an excellent family man. He prays and spends time regularly in God's word. In short, he is a man to be respected and admired. She says the condition of passivity can be overcome, but the first step to overcoming passivity in actions is to overcome passivity in the mind. Dave could not make progress until he made a decision and changed his way of thinking. I have highlighted here, she says, right action follows right thinking. You will not change your behavior until you change your thoughts.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price.
Now, after this, of course, she introduces Romans 12:2. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Joyce says, in God's order of things, right thinking comes first and right action follows. She says, I believe that right action or correct behavior is a fruit of right thinking. Most believers struggle to do right, but fruit is not the product of struggle. Fruit comes as a result of abiding in the vine, in reference to John 15:4. And abiding in the vine involves being obedient, in reference to John 15:10. Now, here's where me and Joyce differ a bit in our interpretation of text. But I feel like we come to the same conclusion. It's kind of one of those things where 2 + 2 = 4. But how I get to 4 and how she get to 4 is a little different. But I want to give to you my interpretation of it because I feel like it adds an extra layer that further proves why we need to take this seriously. So she says, I always use Ephesians 4:22-24 when teaching on this principle. I'm going to read it in the version that she writes it, and then I'm going to come back with how I differ slightly. So she says, verse 22 says, strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion. Verse 24 continues the thought by saying, and put on a new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like in true righteousness and holiness. So we see that verse 22 basically tells us to stop acting improperly, and verse 24 tells us to begin acting properly. But verse 23 is what I call the bridge scripture. It tells us how to get from verse 22 of acting improperly to verse 24 of acting properly. And it says, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. It is impossible to get from wrong behavior to right behavior without first changing thoughts. A passive person may want to do the right thing, but he will never do so unless he purposely activates his mind and lines it up with God's word and will. Now, throughout the book and throughout this chapter in particular, Joyce mentions often the work of the Holy Spirit throughout all of this. The Holy Spirit revealing things to her husband, the Holy Spirit speaking through her as she gives examples of people that she has talked to as it relates to this. But I feel like when it comes to the solutions here, there isn't enough emphasis being put into welcoming and maintaining your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit in addition to the things that she's saying. Even the reference to John 15 and 5, and that's one of my favorite scriptures, and I've studied it extensively. When we talk about the vine and the branches, that plant is a living thing, right? It's not dead. So there's a life force that is empowering this vine to be able to produce fruit. That life force is the Holy Spirit in this analogy. When we renew our mind, when we talk about the spirit of our mind that is saying in Ephesians, when we become Christians, we are blessed and given the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who's our intercessor, our advocate, the Spirit of God on the inside of us. So yes, we have to focus on changing our thoughts to change our actions. Yes, we have to focus on thinking of the truth of the word. But I believe that we also have to emphasize when we're talking about these solutions, maintaining our sensitivity to and our submission to the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and teaching us. He's our teacher. He's our helper. And so, yeah, we don't have to fix our thoughts on our own. We don't have to change our way of thinking on our own. And I don't believe she's intentionally leaving out the Holy Spirit, because like I said, she talks about the work of the Spirit throughout the whole entire book. But I just want to emphasize here in this particular point, as you are doing the things that you know to do, understand that you have the gift and the blessing and the advantage to have access to God's Spirit, who will show you what you don't know, who will reveal what you haven't been exposed to yet, who will teach you what you need to know, who will guide you in all truths. So let's not leave out the work of the Spirit, and let's not focus our attention so much on I and what I need to do and how I need to X, Y, Z and the boxes that I need to check and the system that I need to check. Don't just focus on you and your actions, but also just maintain your sensitivity to what God is saying and what He is revealing as well. That's it. I just wanted to add that in there. That's all. Back to Joyce, because it's her book. She gave a couple of good examples that I want to emphasize. She says that a man once asked for prayer at one of her seminars because he had a problem with lust. She said he really loved his wife and did not want their marriage to be destroyed, but his problem needed to be solved or he would simply ruin his marriage. Joyce, I have a problem with lust, he said. I just cannot seem to stay away from other women. Will you pray for my deliverance? I have been prayed for many times, but I never seemed to make any progress. This is what the Holy Spirit prompted me to tell him. Yes, I will pray for you, but you must be accountable for what you are allowing to show on the picture screen of your mind. You cannot visualize pornographic pictures in your thinking or imagine yourself with these other women if you ever want to truly enjoy freedom. Like this man, others have come to realize on the spot why they are not experiencing a breakthrough, even though they want to be free. If you can identify with this, listen up. They want to change their behavior, but not their thinking. The mind is an area where people play around with sin, Jesus said in Matthew 5:27-28. She said, a woman who attended my first home Bible study had committed her life to the Lord and wanted her home and marriage to be straightened out. Everything in her life was a mess. Her home, her children, her marriage, her finances, physical condition, etc. She openly said that she did not love her husband. In fact, she actually despised him. Knowing that her attitude was not godly, she was willing to love him, but she just could not seem to tolerate being around him. We prayed, she prayed, everybody prayed. We shared scripture with her and gave her recorded teachings to listen to. We did everything we know to do, and even though she was seemingly following our advice, she made no progress. What was wrong? During a counseling session, it was revealed that she had been a daydreamer all her life. She was always imagining a fairy tale existence in which she was the princess and Prince Charming, came home from work with flowers and candy and sweeped her off her feet with his devotion to her. She spent her days thinking like this. And when her tired, overweight, sweaty, dirty husband came home from working hard all day, was this necessary, Joyce? Was this necessary? But all right, let's continue. Think about this situation for a moment. The woman was born again, and yet her life was a mess. She wanted to obey God and live for him. And she also wanted to love her husband because she knew it was God's will. She was willing to have victory in her life and marriage, but her mind was defeating her. There was no way she could overcome her disgust for her husband until she began to operate out of a sound mind. She was mentally living in a world that did not exist and never would. Therefore, she was totally unprepared to deal with her reality. She had a passive mind, and since she was not choosing her own thinking according to the word of God, the evil spirits injected thoughts into her mind. As long as she thought they were her own thoughts and enjoyed them, she will never experience victory. She changed her thinking and her life began to change. She changed her mental attitude toward her husband and he began to change his appearance and his behavior towards her. I love that she gave this example because what happens often, and this directly conflicts with a lot of the talk that we hear about, especially with like this whole manifestation thing, dream, visualize, picture in your mind, you create this vision board, you see it, and people manipulate scripture often to justify these things. But what happens is, and what can be a consequence of that, even, and in some ways that those things can be good, but what can be a consequence of them is that if you're creating these fantasies in your mind that are outside of the will of God, that are simply not true and never going to be true, then you put yourself in bondage to where you can never experience joy. You can't be happy. You can't hear the Holy Spirit because you're living somewhere that's just not real. Versus taking the truth of your circumstances and the totality of that truth, submitting it to the Lord, and then allowing him to work on you to change your life and to change that reality into something that's consistent to the desires of your heart and his promises and his will for you. We do this, we see this all the time, and we incorporate this all the time in business where I see this person, they have millions of followers, millions of dollars, they're doing all of these things. And so we create these pictures in our mind of how God, how success is supposed to look like to us. My success is supposed to look like her success. God being pleased with me is supposed to look like how God being pleased with her looks like. And that just simply may not be the truth. Your church may supposed to be small, and that's okay. It's not that you're failing or that God's hand isn't on it because there aren't millions and millions of attendees. That may be the will of God for your ministry. Your business may only do $50,000 a year. Maybe that's the will of God. I don't know, y'all. I don't know the will of God for your life. But what I'm saying is, for as long as we try to create these fantasy worlds the same way that this woman is doing, we create an opportunity for the enemy to keep us bound. We silence the voice of the Holy Spirit. Well, not silence it. We quiet it because we're paying attention to things that he's not saying, versus allowing ourselves to be humble enough to hear the reality and totality of what he's saying and being submitted to that, so that we could see the result of that in our life and in our action and in our surroundings. So I'm going to stop it right there. I hope that you're seeing how a passive mind is just prime real estate for the enemy. How God doesn't want us to be apathetic, to be disconnected, to be undisciplined. He wants us to be serious about Him, our devotion to Him, our commitment to Him, our commitment to His ways, our commitment to growing closer to Him, drawing near to Him, studying His word, keeping ourselves submitted to be transformed by Him, continuing to repent and turn back when we make mistakes. We're supposed to be active, not inactive. So if you found yourself in a space of inactivity, I pray that this episode blessed you. If you know someone who may be able to identify with this, share this episode with them, share the book. But I'm going to end it right here. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys. I'm hype about a series that we're about to do. God has been giving me some downloads about some specific things as it relates to the word and business in particular. And I'm excited to dive into those for my own notes and also to communicate them here. Again, thank you so much for listening. I love you guys. Stay tuned for that. And I'll see you in the next episode.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.